We're going to carry on with our talking about this theme of hope, hope to sustain our faith, and thinking about that in terms of lighting the Advent candles. Great. During Advent, we prepare for the Christ coming, and we remember the wonderful themes of hope, peace, joy, and love, and they're all centered in our precious Lord Jesus Christ. He unleashes these forces of hope, peace, joy, and love into our lives and into the community of each local place and to us as a whole human race. Without these forces, we do not get anywhere. Today, we have lit the candle of hope. In a world in which we have been cast out of the Garden of Eden, we lost our home, our true home, which was with the Lord, being with Him, walking in the Garden of Eden. We were cast out, and we've lost our connection to the Tree of Life, which was located there, which means we live in what is, in some ways, you could look at human life as bordered by death, you know, because we are born and then we die. I mean, we all know what it is and what it means to visit a cemetery, visit a loved one, what it means to realize we're mortal, that our bodies are wearing out, as talking about getting older. Mike Rita was saying he's getting older and realizing the limits of life. I join him. We're all doing that. But in this experience, we need to desperately need hope. And hope comes and is generated by the Lord God Himself. It's not hope does not die in the reality of the present, but it lives in the promises of the future, and they're God's promises to us. That hope lives on those promises that we're hopefully going to turn a new leaf. Our world desperately needs hope. We desperately need hope. Otherwise, life becomes cheap and short. God has promised this hope to us, and God keeps His promises. No one ever expressed hope better than a slave who longs to be granted their freedom, and they're granted their they're given their humanity back, because humanity lives off of freedom. And nothing tastes better than to be delivered from a harsh and cruel bondage. And one of the things that I think the biblical message clearly shows is that there's going to be an abolition of slavery, which only occurs in the conditions of sin. And it occurs in our world today. There are millions of people caught up in some economic bondage, in some form of being forced to work against their will, doing things they don't necessarily want to do. But our hope starts in the cross. It begins in Jesus, who establishes our freedom, and He banishes slavery forever. And we've lit the candle of hope because we're waiting for the shepherd, but also we're celebrating the shepherd who's present in our lives today. Let us pray a moment, and then we'll read His passage. Dear Lord, thank You for Your word, and thank You that it's a revelation to us, that it exposes us, that it depicts what our humanity is really like. It actually gives us a diagnosis for our sins. And the prescription for health is that we believe and trust in the Messiah that You sent, our Lord Jesus Christ, who is our good shepherd, who is the one who leads us and guides us. Thank You, Lord, that we can celebrate our anticipating Him being more present in our lives, as well as celebrating His coming again in the future to bring an end to history. But in the meantime, Lord, we light a candle of hope, trusting in Your promises that You are going to deliver for us, that You express to us through the scripture we're about to read. May we trust and believe in Jesus' name. Amen. Psalm 33, 12 to 22 says, "Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, the people He chose for His inheritance. From heaven, the Lord looks down and sees all mankind. From His dwelling place, He watches all who live on earth. He who forms the hearts of all who considers everything they do. No king is saved by the size of his army. No warrior escapes by his great strength. A horse is a vain hope for deliverance. Despite all its great strength, it cannot save. But the eyes of the Lord are on those who fear him, on those whose hope is in his unfailing love, to deliver them from death and keep them alive in famine. We wait in hope for the Lord, for he is our help and our shield. In him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in his holy name. May your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in you. You can see the biblical theme of hope shining forth from these pages of Psalm 33. It is such an important subject, and we're going to reflect on it in this message. I know that when I wake up in the morning, I hope it will be a meaningful day in which I hope to accomplish good things. I hope to learn something new. I hope to communicate well and to be in good company, getting on well with those around me. So we can see that hope is woven into the fabric of our being. Now, in fact, the Bible takes hope as one of its foundational ideas and allows it to set its crucial direction. For the Lord says, "I know the plans I have for you," declares the Lord. "Plans to prosper you and not to harm you. Plans to give you hope and a future." What would the story of redemption be without the concept of hope? It is really so critical to the whole reality of Scripture and redemption that we hope in the Lord and we place our confidence in him. For the Lord meets us with his unfailing love. Now, when Moses was about to die, he needed to feel hope. Because God said to him, "Moses, you've led my people to the border of the promised land, but you cannot enter because of your own rebelliousness and sin. I'm going to let Joshua lead the people into the promised land, and you're going to be buried and die on this mountain outside," you know, and that's where he ended his life. He needed hope. He needed to feel hope that Joshua, the new generation of Israelites, would be able to succeed in their work of driving out the Canaanites and taking possession of the land promised to them. Moses needed the hope to be made real to him. And so you see how important it is that Israel's hope was the hope of all nations. That the hope promised to Abraham long ago would come into reality, that Israel would shine like a light, like the candle we've lit of hope to the nations, that there was going to be a salvation by God, that he's going to deliver us from our evil and difficulties. Now, God is always building hope into his people. He built that hope into Moses, who had to turn it over to Joshua. He built that hope into Abraham. Abraham had almost lost all hope in the promise coming true that he was going to have a child of promise named Isaac. He was waiting years and years and years for that child to be born, and he was ready to give up hope. But it says in Romans that Abraham kept hoping against hope, and he just trusted in the Lord. He trusted in God's unfailing love. He continued believing, keeping trusting, and keeping hope alive. Abraham kept hope alive. Moses had to keep hope alive. Hope is living in the promises of God. When Israel doubts that it can overcome the huge walls of Jericho or make any lasting impression on the many fierce peoples confronting them in the land of Canaan, God infuses hope into their situation. He floods the zone with hope. I love to hear that expression, you know. Flood the zone with hope. That's what I want you to come away with today. To feel that God is flooding your zone with hope. That you are hopeful and you are trusting in Him. Because when Israel might have wanted to despair about the walls of Jericho coming down, God had them march around and blow the trumpet, go to sleep, and wake up in hope. For 7 days, they just blew the trumpet, marched around. It might have not felt like a very hopeful or powerful thing to do, but they just trusted in God and His unfailing love. And those walls came tumbling down. And God gave them the victory. And what Moses had hoped for, Joshua delivered on. And God said to Joshua, "Do not be discouraged. Have hope." As we celebrate this Advent season and this first candle of hope, the key element of hope is that we recognize that God is at work in our world. He's at work in the world we live in today. So to believe and trust in that and then join God in His work. I feel like that's like Sybil when she was sharing with her friend about the man with depression and hoped and said, well, he needs Jesus. And she had to trust that God is at work in his life. And now she's seeing the fruit of that as he's going to AA and he's beginning to recover from his addiction. We need to recognize God at work in the world. God has not abandoned the work of his hands. He does not relinquish the battle to the enemy. God is the God who always overcomes. Hope is in the sense of hope in the Bible, biblical hope, it's a certainty not yet realized, but it's something we place our confidence in. What Jesus was teaching his disciples on the day of Good Friday, before Easter, was they were to hope in the Lord. And they lived through a dark day of Saturday, but when Jesus rose from the dead, hope was realized in one degree because he rose from the dead. So that reality of Jesus is where we put our place and focus our hope on him, on a Lord who always overcomes. But the certainty of what God is fully going to do in our lives and in our world is not yet realized. We're waiting for his kingdom to come. That's why we continue to pray in the Lord's Prayer, our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Praise you, O God. Your kingdom come. Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We're certain that it's the right way to go. And we need to be confident of that. Remember that in the waiting we do for God, He is working. He is working and He's even working in our being built into patience and endurance. And we have to pledge ourselves in fidelity and trust to God's most holy name and to follow Him without fail and without let up. As it says here, it's a good quote from Colleen Swindoll. Follow God's direction as outlined in Scripture with deliberate, determined, and disciplined effort. Trust in God's holy name and follow Him without fail, without let up. And it's a great temptation to think that evil is too strong or too great to overcome. And what we need to do to kindle our hope and make it live is remember this has never been the case. This is why we are a people of hope. We hope in God no matter what. We are longing for God's hope to flood the zone, to flood every space in which we live. Now let me turn to a biblical example. When Peter was put in prison by the authorities, the Jewish authorities there in Jerusalem, They thought they were going to end the Jesus movement. They were trying to eliminate this Jesus talk, and they wanted to put an end to it. Now, when he was put into prison, it felt pretty hopeless for the believers. But they put their hope in God in any case, no matter what. In spite of the circumstances, they hoped in the Lord, and they began to pray. They prayed in faith. And Peter had to surrender his future to the Lord sitting there in the prison. But the end result is the chains fell off of Peter. He got up, the door was opened, he walked out of the prison, and he walked over to the house where the believers were praying, and he knocked on the door, he said, "It's Peter." And they didn't believe him. They didn't believe him. They were hoping, but they didn't realize that hope could be realized. They didn't expect hope to be realized in such a powerful way. And Peter came out of that jail a free man. It was a total work of God, a miracle of the Lord himself. Through the centuries, many thousands of Christians have given their lives to preserve the profession of their faith, that Jesus is Savior and Lord. We can confess that same faith today because of their fidelity and commitment, because they followed the Word of God with determination and deliberate hope. They have all learned to place their hope in the Lord and believe in Him, that believe God sufficient to carry them through thick and thin. As verses 20 to 22 say, "We wait in hope for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. In Him our hearts rejoice, for we trust in His holy name. May Your unfailing love be with us, Lord, even as we put our hope in You." Now, today it is estimated that there are many, many Christians going through very difficult circumstances. Their faith is not free. They're not allowed to meet in a space like this church. They're not allowed to show up at the time they choose. They often have to maybe destroy their cell phones, take the battery out because the authorities will track them through their cell phones to the meeting and try to break up a Bible study or break up a church service, put pastors in prison. It could be in China, it could be in North Korea. And this is a wonderful picture from the satellite in space showing that South Korea is blazing with lights and North Korea is in darkness. They don't have enough power to generate lights at night. They don't have lights out there. I'm sure that Kim Jong-un has plenty of light in his palace, where his household, and whoever's part of the elite with him, but the most of the people suffer in darkness. They estimate that there are perhaps 70,000 Christians suffering imprisonment in their concentration camps in North Korea because they practiced and believed a forbidden faith. Now, their hope has to transcend their circumstances completely to give them confidence that in the end, their faith shall carry them through so that they overcome. So for Christian believers also in places like Iran and Afghanistan, they have to hope in God no matter what, in spite of the circumstances. Hoping in God is choosing to wait for God to bring His goodness into our lives. Hope is remembering God's faithfulness to us in the past and trusting that it will be present in our future. Hope rises when we encounter the light that penetrates the darkness and drives it away. Psalm 42, verse 5. "Why, my soul, are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." Put your hope in the Lord. You know, David might have written this psalm while he was hiding in a cave from King Saul, who was hunting for his life. And he might have then said, "Oh my soul, why are you so downcast? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise Him, my Savior and my God." In spite of his circumstances, David trusted in the Lord. In spite of their circumstances, believers must put their hope in God. It's an unfailing promise in God that He will deliver. And the way hope works is it remembers God's faithfulness in the past and trusts it will be present in our future. Hope transcends circumstances. Hope rises when we encounter the light that penetrates the darkness and drives it away. Hope for when you're waiting on God to answer. Our Advent hope is about God working in our waiting and giving us patience in the midst of it. John 1 verse 5 says, "The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it." I love that translation. The light shines in the darkness can never extinguish it, no matter how much they try. They tried to do it with Peter, the very beginning, didn't work. They try to do it now, in our world today, does not work. That light still shines. And as long as we're here, may we be like the candle, shining our light. And, of course, our Christmas hope is based on our Messiah, Jesus Christ, who made His home on planet Earth with Joseph and Mary in Nazareth, and makes His home with us in our hearts and here in our worship today through our faith. Of course, when Moses was about to die, for Israel was all about placing their hope in God. Moses had brought the presence of the Lord into their midst. Would they ever be as close to God as Moses was? He had worked about mighty miracles to bring about their deliverance from Egypt. They had to learn about hope in their Advent circumstance. And they had to remember that when we read about the word Emmanuel, God with us, we believe that God's light penetrates the darkness. There's a great hope in this. Moses was wondering whether anyone would be able to stand up to the earthly powers like him. Would Joshua and the new generation be up to the task? And the answer is yes. After Moses, you have many people who trusted in the Lord. And the verse in Joshua 1 verse 9 reminds us, Have I not commanded you, Joshua, be strong and courageous. Do not be terrified. Do not be discouraged. For the Lord your God will be with you wherever you go. Place your hope in the Lord. After Joshua, there was Gideon, and there was Deborah. There was Elijah and Elisha. There was Samuel, then David. And today, the story is written by us. Each one of us, put your name in that list. Praise be to God. We hope in His abiding faithfulness and His enduring truth. God is full of faithfulness and truth. So rest in the Lord and wait patiently for Him. Amen. Dear Lord, thank You this morning hour that we could remember the most powerful concept of hope. Lord, we need hope. Our circumstances sometimes make us feel like we're in a dark place. We need Your light to penetrate that darkness, and we need to be reminded that the darkness has no power to overcome it. That greater is He that is in us than he that is in the world. Thank You, Lord Jesus, that the little people of Israel trusted You, and Joshua, the new leader, trusted You and put his hope in You. And that believers today can walk their walk of faith knowing that Jesus is our good shepherd and He will lead us to the supply and provision we need, and He will lead us in paths of righteousness for His name's sake. Help us, Lord, as we continue to place our hand in Yours and be present with You in the here and now, and be trusting You for our future. For our hope is in the Lord. And as Ephesians 1, 18 and 19 on the front of our bulletin says, I pray that the eyes of your heart We pray that the eyes of our hearts may be enlightened in order that we may know the hope to which he has called us, the riches of his glorious inheritance in the holy people, and in God's incomparably great power for us who believe. Amen.